Hey, gang. Welcome to another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, RBN, republicbroadcasting.org. It's the French dog vomit of free speech, because these things happen sometime. Sometimes free speech happens. It's getting harder and harder, but it does happen from time to time. So clean it up by going to 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Phone it into 1-800-724-2719, extension 3. Operators are standing by. We have with us today Paul Stevenson, who is going to tell us a little bit about newer and bolder restrictions on free speech over across the pond in the UK. Paul, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Patrick. Yeah, I think this has actually got wider implications than free speech, essentially. And, you know, I've read it in a little bit more detail, you know, some of the information about it. Perhaps it's not as bad on the face of it as I initially thought, but it's a new low for the way this country is, you know, operates and how it sees itself and how it still tries to maintain the same, in quotes, British values of free speech and, you know, democracy and everything else. All the while, this is the kind of thing that they accuse people like Vladimir Putin of. So just for a bit of background, I'll read a little bit here. I mean, the mainstream media is covering this, so it doesn't really matter. It's just for the quotes. This is from The Guardian. UK ministers and officials to be banned from contact with groups labelled extremist. New extremism definition to be published by Michael Gove is already being challenged by Muslim groups and experts. So just bear with me and I'll read out a couple of paragraphs of this just to set the scene for our listeners and for yourself and for myself. Ministers and civil servants will be banned from talking to or funding organizations that undermine, quote, this is very Orwellian and ironic, by the way, and just an insult to your intelligence. Funding organizations that undermine, quote, the UK system of liberal parliamentary democracy under a new definition of extremism criticized by the government's terror watchdog and Muslim community groups. Michael Gove, the community secretary, will tell MPs on Thursday that officials should consider whether a group maintains, quote, public confidence in government before working with it. Groups that will be effectively cancelled by ministers for falling foul of the new definition will be named in the coming weeks, government sources said. There will be no appeals process if a group is labelled an extremist, it is understood, and groups will instead be expected to challenge a ministerial decision in the courts. So I'll just finish with this. It says the new definition will say, quote, extremism is the promotion or advancement of an ideology based on violence, hatred, or intolerance that aims to, one, negate or destroy, you know, again, just the irony of this, aims to, number one, negate or destroy the fundamental rights and freedom of others, or two, undermine, overturn, or replace the UK's system of liberal parliamentary democracy and democratic rights, and three, intentionally create a permissive environment for others to achieve the results in one or two. It should be pointed out that it's even more ironic because this was a reaction, at least on the surface of it, to George Galloway getting this seat in Rochdale. So he's now a member of parliament again. And that was, you know, it was a democratic vote. It's just, it's not the kind of democracy that they like because they don't really control it the way they want to. It was like a little, it was a bit of a democratic political black swan event. So then immediately Rishi Sunak came out and talked about how alarming this is. It's beyond alarming and was on the steps of Downing Street, which is usually reserved for very serious issues. Churchill went on the church on the steps of Downing Street, for example, and announced that the British were at war with the Germans. So, you know, again, it's basically all about not just free speech, but political control. And, you know, as I say, this is a follow-up to Rishi Sunak's cringeworthy, alarming, or, you know, identifying George Galloway's election as alarming and a threat to democracy, because apparently there were some Labour MPs who were threatened by some Muslim extremists. But in the... Sorry for my monologue. Are you still there, Patrick?
You go right ahead. Yeah, you just go right ahead.
Okay, okay. Yeah, it's just important, even for myself, because I'm still sort of looking into exactly everything, so just for the context. But he has... immediately, I thought, when I saw Rishi Sunak on the streets of Downing Street, that something like this is going to follow up, and this whole Israel-Gaza situation, they're going to be, you know, on the surface of it, talking about, well, you know, these Islamic extremists, and this was a Muslim vote, and everything else, which is a bit rich considering both the conservative governments opened up our gates for immigration, including to millions of Muslims, and cultivated extremism in the Middle East before they decided to open up our borders to. So obviously we've got some Muslim extremists here, but as usual, I think the real targets of this are basically it's a protection situation, more restrictions, more censorship, and more aggression and, you know, censorship on what they call far right groups, and to prevent against anti-Semitism, of course, because that's always a big concern, isn't it, really? And Michael Gove actually mentioned Patriotic Alternative today in the British Parliament as an example of a neo-Nazi group, along with another group called the British National Socialist Party.
Okay, and just for a second, so what is Patriotic Alternative, and who leads it?
Well, Patriotic Alternative is, you know, it's a nationalist movement, and it, you know, Gove accused it of, you know, looking for white. You know, what I'm looking for, Patrick. Sorry, it's been a long day. Ethno-state. And, you know, that was what he described it. But Patriotic Alternative is a white nationalist group. And my understanding of them, because I know some of them, I don't think we even, you know, maybe they do, but I don't think it's really on their, you know, official statements that they want. You know, they want just only white people here. We don't want to be, you know, people in Patriotic Alternative and anybody not even in that organization who have been alarmed by immigration can see that, you know, the native population are already minorities in the big cities, and we don't want to become a minority in our own countries, you know, our own country. Who would? So anyway, they were used. I mean, I think it's long past the days, in my opinion, that you could possibly, you know, if you did have such ideas about a white ethno state, which, by the way, even if you did affirm that, that's essentially going back 50 years, maybe 60, in the way that it was normal 50 or 60 years ago. In other words, it's a bit like condemning the blacks and black people in Africa for being extremists, because you've got a much, you know, completely dominant black demographics. But if you even did have that sort of desire for your own country in this environment, that is extremist. That's dangerous. And that's alarming.
And then, and who is the leader of Patriotic Alternative?
Mark Collett.
Okay. And I think listeners to this show, they've heard him every Monday for the past 6 or 7 years. And, he is a wild extremist firebrand, dangerous, calling for not exactly violence, calling for actually very reasonable things. He's very reasonable.
Of course, you know, I mean, yeah.
Well, anyway,
it's very true. You know, Mark is a very reasonable guy. And by the way, far from violence, Patriotic Alternative do a lot of very good work in the communities. But you see, they're helping the wrong people, I guess, in the community. But, you know, I know people in Patriotic Alternative, and I know Mark, and I know myself. You know, they basically just think that we just run around all day with hearts of hatred, that we are so bigoted and so small-minded that we are incapable of any other thoughts apart from getting, I don't know, getting freaked out every time we see a Muslim are freaked out every time we see a black person and we want to just kill everybody. It's just, it's a caricature. You know, they're not interested in looking at what people in these extremist groups that they're talking about actually believe. They just don't want any threat. This is all about political control. And again, it's like the type of thing they accuse Putin of. And actually, Putin's is on record, you know, to say that he has imprisoned some of his political opposition because they were extremists. So yeah, the double standard is incredible.
So, Mark Collett, I used to be on, he's been on my show every week for a number of years, and I used to be on his Patriotic Alternative program, which when the first year I was on it, it was called This Week in the Alt-Right, and then after about a year, it changed title to, what was it, the Patriotic Weekly Review.
Patriotic Weekly Review.
Yeah, that was his weekly show, and I was a panelist on it. I think now it's just it doesn't have a panel. It's just Mark interviewing a different guest every week. But I was on that for 2 years, maybe was it like 2018, 2019? I eventually reached a point where I just I was doing 22 hours of shows a week, mostly live, and I couldn't deal with it anymore.
Don't blame you.
Right. But I remember, you know, this is in the late 20-teens. Some of the other panelists would mention ethnostate. And I talked about this in my show yesterday. My show actually from today as we're speaking, because we're speaking on Thursday. I was proofreading my book, which I'm going to hopefully finally publish it. I have to do a bit of editing, so I'm starting to just, I figured, okay, I might as well just edit it while I'm recording shows and see if that's good content. But I mentioned that, the ethnostate, what does that even mean? What does an ethnostate mean? And one of the things I was pointing out is, because it's important for people to know what's being talked about, to somebody like Mark Collett, to the people who were actually using the term ethnostate, and by the way, I haven't heard that term used for a number of years. It's not really to my knowledge.
Maybe that's what I was saying. I don't think I've ever heard, you know, anybody with Mark or anybody within Patriotic Alternative use that term, because I think they would probably recognize it at this stage as unrealistic. And I don't think that's necessarily part of their goals. That ship has sailed. Even if you wanted to,
Yeah, 5 or 6 years ago. I forgot he had a co-host with red hair. Her name was Bree Fabre or something like that. And I remember her using it. And I asked for a bit of clarification. And the thing is, to the extent people were using it, which, and as far as I know, it's not in common parlance anymore. But to the extent people were using that term, the people who were using it, an ethnostate meant a state that was interested in the welfare of its majority traditional population. Just as China is interested in the welfare of the Han Chinese population, which is
exactly,
you know, somewhere around 90%. Thailand, the land of the Thais, is interested in its majority population, which is maybe only 75%.
And by the way, so was there. Yeah, so is Poland, the land of the Po.
Yeah. Now, but
Ireland, not so much. England, not so much.
What I pointed out in my book is that to the left-wing anti-whites, the term ethnostate conjures up images of rounding up ethnic minorities and deporting them or just genociding them. And so, like, the terms mean completely different things to the different people using them. And now, with Mark Collett, this is going back a few years, but his suggestions were, stop giving preferential treatment to immigrants and non-whites, okay? So, ceasing preferential treatment, and then also offering people on a voluntary basis stipends and tickets to go back to where they came from if they so choose, with the idea that not all, but some people might say, you know, I want to lead a Muslim life. I want to I want my wife wearing a hijab. And honestly, that's easier to do in Pakistan or wherever, Bangladesh. It would be easier to do. And if the government's going to be generous enough to give me, free transportation and a stipend to get myself set up and maybe start a business back in my my homeland where I came from, I might take it up. And that's as extreme as it gets. There was nothing. There was no forced roundups. There was no forced expulsions. Now, obviously, people who are in a country illegally breaking its laws, those people have no right to be in the country. That should be a given. That shouldn't be controversial.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. And in places like India and Pakistan, and there's all sorts of things you can't do as a foreigner. You know, it's all sorts of limitations put on you as just simply because you're a foreigner. So, I mean, we would call, you know, that would get called, in quotes, racist or whatever. But they're not, it's not like you're going to see a documentary on the BBC about, quotes, racism in India, you know?
Yeah. And by the way, I do know of a country that uses monetary incentives to entice people to move to that country, and there are organizations, and that country is Israel, obviously. They have, what do they call it? I think they call it the Jewish Agency. It's called the Jewish Agency, and that is an Israeli governmental organization that tries to facilitate and support and subsidize the movement of Jews from wherever they may be to Israel, but also within the United States. They have affiliate organizations that try to facilitate the movement of Jews from the United States to Israel. They have these in other countries as well. And so is that so hateful? Is that so intolerant? You know, suggesting and facilitating movement of people to lands where their customs are more common, that's not necessarily hateful.
No,
it's just not.
Well, you know, we all know that it's a grab for more power and control. It's a grab to stop anyone criticizing, not even Jews, but generally. But
Tehebo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com, or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing, knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
It's a grab for more power and control. It's a grab to stop anyone criticizing, not even Jews, but generally, but Israel. And there's, when you look at the laughable double standard and all of this, it kind of emerged, I guess, although they always love these opportunities, because of essentially. It wasn't entirely the case, but it was a protest vote for George Galloway because of an ethnic cleansing, because of a genuine racially supremacist, arguably a genocide, certainly an ethnic cleansing operation occurring in the Middle East. And what do we get out of this? Well, we get new legislation to clamp down on far-right extremism, neo-Nazis, and of course, anti-Semitism. I mean, it just doesn't matter. It's just like everything that happens, it ends up in more legislation. And it's not just effect, but, the point is that is a genuine, for the whole world to see, which is why most people, because, find it so odious, is because it is genuine extremism. The Likud party and the state of Israel, in terms of how these people define it, is very extreme. And when you start murdering people because you want to just take their land, can you get any more extreme than that? Because they use words like, violence and intolerant. I mean, again, the lack of awareness of the irony, when you come out with these sorts of clampdowns and then talk about intolerance. But he goes on to say, the definition focuses on ideas, on ideology, not action. So it's a move from the previous definition. Moving the focus from action to ideology or ideas is an important one, because I think people will be entitled to say, what business is it of the government what people think, unless they actually do something with that? There's no appeal body, and where you have this lack of safeguards, it's going to be really important to make sure that this labeling does not bleed into other areas. If the government says that someone is an extremist, and is essentially saying, this is some pushback to it, you're unacceptable. And then what would stop a local authority, another public body, or even a private body from deciding they will adopt it as well? The new extremism definition is not statutory and will be used by government departments and officials alongside a new set of engagement principles, a statement from the Department for Leveling Up, Housing and Community said. The principles are meant to mitigate the risk of, quote, undertaking engagement that undermines government's core aims to maintain public confidence in government, uphold democratic values, and protect the rights and freedoms of others. That's all done, and, you know, all, we're very good-hearted people here. You know?
All right. Well, okay, I need to say a word about democratic values. So the what we used to consider as actual core democratic values, the most important principles of democracy, the most important aspects of it, the functions of it, now, over the past several years, especially since Donald Trump and Brexit, democracy is described by the mainstream, and I'm not going to say left, although maybe I ought to, but I'm just not going to. Democracy is described as being so fragile, so exceedingly fragile, that anything that once we would have thought of as a core aspect of democracy has to be banned. Otherwise, democracy itself is in peril. So free speech? No, you can't have free speech in a democracy because somebody might feel bad. And of course, when you get down to it, really, what is the core American or the core British principle? What is really the main policy objective of our countries? And it's not democracy. It's not even the welfare of the people. It is protection of Jewish power. I mean, that's what it is. It's protection of Jewish power. That is the, and of course, how do you protect Jewish power? By squashing anything that could possibly become
any kind of threat.
That could possibly become criticism of Jews. In Canada, I can't remember quite what it was, but I'm sure we're going to be hearing about it. So this is not news reporting. This is just talk. But it was something about it was Minority Report-esque. There was something about preventing or like using algorithms or something to identify people likely to commit like hate crimes or something. So I'm not going to say more about that. But one last thing is just talking about extremism and why is this legislation, which I guess will be passed by Britain, and it hasn't yet, right? But there doesn't seem to be any real. Don't eat that stuff. Come on, that's not there for you. There doesn't seem to be any opposition from the major parties to it.
I don't see too much of it. Maybe there's a few, but
why is this happening now? I mean, George Galloway just got elected in a by-election. Why did he get elected? Because of what you mentioned earlier.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Hi, Tom Bolton for EaseOff. I know so many of you are finding our EZ4 carcass drop and lift an essential tool for your meat processing operation, but today I want to spotlight four of our new products. First, our right height hog cradles with steel or aluminum frames. Our customers love this back-saving innovation that enhances sanitation and speeds production. Next, our beef cradles with stainless steel or aluminum frames eliminate rust and corrosion. We hope you'll compare our quality and prices for this essential part of your processing line. Our cradles are especially effective when used with our power skinner. And finally, our hook tumbler will keep your hooks clean and polished. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home.
Email Tom at republicbroadcasting.org. T-O-M at republicbroadcasting.org.
Maybe there's a few, but
why is this happening now? I mean, George Galloway just got elected in a by-election. Why did he get elected? Because of the what you mentioned earlier, the massive extremism of the Israeli government, which is just embarking on literal genocide. Officially, 30,000 people dead. The demographics of those dying it pretty much mirror the demographics of Gaza in general, meaning it's just indiscriminate bombing. It's just indiscriminate. But there's every reason to believe that the 30,000 is considerably, if not massively, undercounted. Ralph Nader published an article saying that he thinks that the number of people already dead is probably more like 200,000.
I heard someone say.
And the Gaza authorities, if anything, they have probably more of an interest in undercounting rather than overcounting. I mean, it's so extreme what's going on. They don't need to overcount. It's already so extreme. The reason they might want to undercount is not to destroy the morale of their own people who are being martyred. And that's the last thing I want to say. This is the term we need to be using. These people are martyrs. They are martyrs not just for their own cause. They're really martyrs for civilization,
for the rest of the world.
These people are martyrs.
I think because most people are decent people, when they see genuine slaughter and genuine extremism like this, they're outraged. So up and down this country, whether you're black, white, far right or considered far right, whatever, far left, whatever, like I've told you before, it's only these sort of centrist right types. And I agree with these people on some other things, but God, this has really put me off them so much. Even Farage, I can barely listen to a word Farage says anymore. And I find myself, having increasing respect for some unusual bedfellows, people like Max Blumenthal, people like George Galloway. Yes. And it's flipped everything on its head. And I've always listened to these guys anyway. Because foreign policy. But I've noticed there's been a slight movement where some of these guys have moved into accepting that there's too much going on at the border. It's not normal. And they, you know, people like Jimmy Dore, for example, they've softened on this because even though they just recognize that it's not designed to wipe out white people, like some of this crazy white conspiracy theorists that we're told, even though you've had officials over the years actually admit to wanting to do as much, but they, you know, they see it as an importation of voters for the Democrats. Okay, fine. You know, I find myself, because I like these people who are a bit more respectful, to be a little softer on maybe some socialist policies. That'll probably, you know, get me some abuse. I don't know. But, you know, as a Christian, I don't believe in socialism. But if I was running a government, you have to have some flexibility. Because what we have today isn't what's considered typical, classical free market capitalism anyway. It's a whole racket. It's a criminal syndicate, quite frankly, where you get a small group of people who manage to be able to create money out of thin air. if I pull a printing machine, Patrick, and print up £100 over here, I'm in a lot of trouble. But anyway, you've seen these kind of movements of it. Now, everything just seems turned on its head at the moment. I think it boils down to principled or not principled. This may be a little bit simple, but I think people who are principled over the, you know, as a result of watching this slaughter, have kind of coalesced a little bit and have softened themselves towards each other a little bit. You know, they, like when you see some of the people that Judge Napolitano will have on, or you'll have people like Douglas McGregor and, George Galloway, having a lot of respect for each other and communicating and doing interviews, but they're at different ends of the spectrum in some key areas, you know?
So, yeah, I think we have to think very strategically about this. So, for instance, in the United States, we have a general election coming up at the in November. There's a presidential election, but also one-third of the Senate and the entire House of Representatives, they're all up for election. And so, for instance, we have this small group of mainly brown and black women, but I guess there's like a black man or two also associated with it, called the Squad. These are, I guess you would call, I don't really like using left and right wing, but I guess you would call these very progressive left-wing Democrats who are hostile to whites racially. They actually are. And yet, for the most part, I'm endorsing them. People like Ilhan Omar and Rashida Tlaib and Aliana Presley and Summer Lee and a few other, some guy, I can't remember his name. There's a half dozen or so that AIPAC is trying to take down. And they've invested huge amounts of money, huge amounts of Jewish money are going to either primary opponents or maybe in some cases general election opponents. I think mostly primary opponents, because I think most of these people come from areas where there's not really even a functioning Republican Party. And so I'm going to say right now, not only do I stand with the chinks, I stand with these black and brown bitches. I do. And and I fully support them. Even if it's just on this one issue, because this is huge, and we simply cannot let the AIPAC and what they represent to say so-and-so is not qualified for office. We can't let them do that. Now, like the presidential election, it's going to be between – it's at this point, it seems like it's going to be between Trump and Biden. And Trump got a lot of flack because of a statement he made, like just a few words he said in a Fox News interview. He was asked if, you know, he stands with Israel or whatnot. And he said, they've got to finish the problem. Look, this would have never happened if I was president. And then he just went on and on and on about how it would have never happened if he was president. But he said,
he never elaborates.
You got to finish the problem. I think he said, you got to finish the problem. Now that has been misquoted as they've got to finish the job. That was in the Daily Stormer.
What the hell is that supposed to mean?
You could make the argument that that's what he actually meant. You could make that argument, but it's not what he said. And then Max Blumenfeld, Max Blumenfeld quoted it differently, something like, they've got to finish them off. That's what Max Blumenfeld said, is they've got to finish them off. And that's not what he said. You could still say what he said was unacceptable or reprehensible or whatever.
What did he say again exactly?
He said, you've got to finish the problem.
Well, that's ambiguous. What does that mean? What does he mean? Yeah, what does that mean?
And he is okay, so it's one of two things. It could be that he just misspoke and what he was really thinking was, you've got to finish the job of finishing them
off. Exterminating the Palestinians.
Or, and this is entirely plausible given what we know about Trump, is that he is trying to be ambiguous. You said it sounds ambiguous. He's trying to be vague and ambiguous. And you know, there was at the beginning of this month, there was a New York Times article that was criticizing Trump because he has been so ambiguous that he has not said anything really. He's said so little specifically in support of Israel. All he keeps saying over and over and over is, this would have never happened. This would have never happened. It also pointed out that
I think Trump's got a little switch somewhere, you know, like a mute button and a mic or something, and it just says that. So he just sort of hits it maybe on the top of his hip or something, and it comes out with it never would have happened. There's never any. He hasn't got another button where it elaborates.
This is what he's been saying for 2 years about Ukraine too. It would have never happened.
Yeah, I know.
It would have never happened. But then meanwhile he is now getting his Republican supporters in the House of Representatives to oppose aid to Ukraine. Now the thing is that the aid to Ukraine is tied in with aid to Israel. It's completely tied into. And so, you can say Trump's statement is reprehensible. I won't argue with that. At the same time, Trump has been preventing this aid from going to Israel. Whether he says that's what he's trying to do or not, this aid package to Israel is completely tied to the aid package to Ukraine, and he's been telling his people, do not vote for it.
Well, if we've got a little bit of time over to Ukraine, because Macron, I saw a very strange video today that's gone viral. It's obviously staged. It's like something out of, I don't know, a TV series on Netflix or something. You got the cameras in there, and Macron's in there talking to Zelensky on the phone. And Zelensky's basically sort of more or less said, oh, we're done. We're surrounded. And you need to go. We need you to negotiate with Putin. And you're seeing these very sort of dramatic camera angles and close-up of Macron and everything else. Very strange video, but it's gone viral. But it's kind of done and staged as if it's like, you know, as if we're supposed to be privy to this phone call. I don't know why you've seen it, but obviously it's deliberate that they're the whole thing is staged where Macron is having this conversation in a very beautiful looking office in Paris. And it's pretty cringeworthy, but it's also interesting because of the content of it, because it seems like a bit of almost like kind of a white flag from Zelensky. I don't know. But then Macron is supposed to address the nation tonight. I was listening to a little bit of Alexander Mercouris earlier. And he said he's almost a little bit nervous about what Macron will say, because, you know, Macron has been pretending he's the big guy in Europe and throwing his weight around. I think Mercouris is probably, you know, he can relax. I think, you know, Macron's a bluffer. And I think he's an attention seeker. And I'm not even really sure what's going on, but I don't think he's going to announce troops going into France. And I think if he did, there'd be an absolute revolt in not only the French military, but in France, even for France, sort of protest at the slightest things. I think it would be absolute mayhem. And I think Macron knows that. What do you think? But, you know.
Well, there doesn't seem to be much support in France for French military action, direct military action in Ukraine.
No.
And yet this is what Macron, in a sporadic way, a spasmodic way, it seems to be what he's been suggesting. So
wait a minute, because I might have been wrong, actually. One second. Maybe he has. Macron, no, I don't know. No, sorry, go ahead, Patrick. Sorry to interrupt you. I thought maybe there was news there to the contrary that he had.
No, I think he has been making suggestions that could reasonably be interpreted as France, as threatening French military action in Ukraine,
for sure,
on the ground.
And, yeah, he has.
and he's been encouraging these tiny little Baltic states, Estonia, Lithuania, and Latvia, who are run, I think Lithuania and Estonia are both run by women. I don't know what the hell's going on in that whole
Nordic
area where, you know, Finland was run by a woman, Sweden was run by a woman. You have all these women who are...
And they're all quite nice-looking young women, too.
I mean, the Finnish lady, she was a party chick, but she was very hot. But even the other ones were a bit older still. Yeah, they're pretty attractive. And that's that's not a good reason to elect somebody. I mean, who am I to talk? Is like I was always talking about Tulsi Gabbard and whatnot. So I'm not. But at any rate,
Diane Abbott's more my kind of cup of tea, really. You know,
Diane Abbott. Who's that?
That doesn't matter. So that's another story. She's in the headlines today as well. But that's Diane Abbott is a far left. Sort of, I don't know, she must be maybe 60 or whatever, black labor politician who just sees racists everywhere.
Oh, okay. I think I know who she's talking about. All right. Well, yeah. So Macron has been encouraging these little statelets to, send their militaries to Ukraine. Well, their militaries might be like a couple of brigades. I don't know. I mean, how big is the brigade? But they're tiny, and you know, and now they're talking about. Or I heard Mercurius talking about. Well, what they might do is send their militaries to not to combat, but to do. I don't know, like to protect the border of Ukraine, and that frees up Ukrainian. Yeah. Military from protecting the western borders or whatever to combat. And the thing is, there's hardly any Ukrainians left to fight. I mean, they've been wiped out.
No.
And you look at this, and honestly, what was this? We're talking about the Jewish extremism in Israel. What about the Jewish extremism of Zelensky and Blinken and Nuland, which has led to...
Of course, Patrick. It's mass murderers. Mass murderers, you know, and just give me more bodies to feed into the meat grinder. Complete disregard, complete contempt for human life. I don't mean to sound, you know, like over emotional, but I couldn't help it today. And I cried because I saw this soldier who was a Ukrainian guy. He's probably 35, 36. He looked pretty skinny. Looks like he hadn't ate much. And, he was saying that he was lifted off the street and he was threw into this situation and he hadn't a clue what he was doing. And really, when they tried to flee Avdiivka, you know, they didn't really know even where they were going, which was the way out. Absolute chaos, him and about another five or six guys. And that the Russians were shooting at them and they dropped their weapons and put their hands up and surrendered. And the Russians took them. And I did shed a tear for this because, you know, this is just one story of millions. And this guy was lucky that he wasn't shot.
He's a lucky one.
But he just looked so sad, man. And I thought, you know, this war was so avoidable. And these young men, you know, just have their lives wrecked. I mean, Ukraine in many places of that country is not the nicest place to live anyway. And then you're maybe going to the local shop to pick up some milk or whatever, a beer. And you get a bag put over your head and you're thrown into a van. If you've got kids there left behind, you don't know where their father is. And then you're literally thrown into these death situations where the only hope you have is that the Russians will identify you with your hands up before killing you.
Yeah. And so one of the really pivotal moments in my early life, my mother was an anti-war activist, anti-Vietnam War. And we watched CBS News, Walter Cronkite, just like everyone else. But I remember this one report where one of the network reporters had gone to a clinic in South Vietnam, a children's clinic. Thank you.
People often write to tell us what has happened for them since starting Extendivite. Allow me to read a few highlights. Extendivite works in keeping my blood pressure in the normal range. I have been using Extendivite for many years. Great product. I use regularly and I rarely get sick. This product has relieved what appeared to be angina pain in my chest and shortness of breath after climbing stairs. I'm quite happy about it. My husband, son, and I have been using this product for a few months now, and we have noticed an improvement in our joints and blood pressure. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org, smash that donate button, like Russian peacekeepers smashing through the Azov neo-Nazi terrorists in the Donbass.
I don't think you can explain politics without looking at Jewish power any more than you can explain physics without dealing with gravity.
9/11 was a jointly conducted covert operation that involved multiple states, the Saudis, the Israelis, and what you could call the deep state in the United States.
With anti-Semitic remarks.
yeah, you're jiggling juice, we used to say, the dancing Israelis. So
even the Republicans now are compromising, and they're pushing issues that are destructive to the white race.
They would always say, like, are we just going to talk about this stuff on the radio? Like, what are we going to do about it?
Either we force the democracy to work by actually getting the ballot access, getting the candidates, getting in office, getting our message out there to the people, or we expose just how undemocratic it is.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
Did you know that essential oils have had a multitude of natural health and skin uses in history, but have been somewhat forgotten by recent civilization? Susanna's Secret offers 100% pure and natural oils at prices you can actually afford. Do you have a house or office with a musty smell or mold? Studies have shown that essential oils like the one in our Thief and Robbers blend will kill or inhibit mold, viruses, bacteria, and fungus. Just diffuse with it and you will see the long-lasting effects that even synthetic chemicals don't achieve. Purifica, another one of our products used to clean and freshen your house or give a natural scent when drying laundry. For that special lady, we offer a ginger argan oil in a beautiful cosmetic bottle or a pure argan oil, a natural acne-fighting product. Check us out at SusannaSecret.com. That's S-U-S-A-N-A-S Secret.com. S-U-S-A-N-A-S Secret.com.
I just like everyone else, but I remember this one report where one of the network reporters had gone to a clinic in South Vietnam, a children's clinic, and they were fitting these children with cheap plastic prosthetics. And I remember seeing a picture of this cheap looking eyeball made out of plastic that was going to go into some kid's eye socket because he had his eye blown out. And you know, other kids that were missing limbs. And it just caused such an intense, visceral response in me. I've never forgotten that. And then just the other day, I'm pulling up an article on RT or Press TV or whatever it was, and they show a picture. They're in a hospital in Gaza, and there's some little 10-year-old Palestinian girl, and she's got her arm stubs wrapped in bandages. Clearly, there's no hands there anymore. And of course, she's crying.
Mm.
So
it's horrifying, Patrick. You know, it gets to the point where it's hard for me sometimes. It gets a little hard to go to sleep at night. Just before I go to sleep, I start thinking about Bakhmut or start thinking about, you know, that part of the world, because it's just the contempt for human life is just, and just looking at that guy today, and I listened to him, I felt so sorry for that young man, and he just looked so lost, so vulnerable, picked off the street, thrown into that deep. Like I said, many, sadly, hundreds of thousands. You're not talking about you know, dozens that weren't so lucky. And I hope, and I think from talking from what he said, the Russians treated him with respect, you know, because he said in the video, he said, I never wanted to fight in this war, you know. I was just forced into it.
Max Blumenthal, in his talk before the, what is it, the Democratic National Women's Committee, that's on YouTube. I think it's on YouTube under the title Max Blumenthal talks about genocide Democrats, something like that. But he brought up a transcript from probably 40 years ago where young Senator Biden was meeting with Israeli Prime Minister Menachem Begin, telling Begin, I would go farther than you because I would attack women and children.
And yeah, well, Biden's a complete psychopath. You know? Yeah. And he's a pervert as well. I mean, his daughter brought out a book, you know, claiming that he used to take showers with her at, she was 7 or 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, whatever it was. And, you know, that maybe she doesn't remember the rest of what happened to her, but I wouldn't put it past anything.
There was the dialogue. And anyway, and Trump has been calling him Sleepy Joe. Why? Because it rhymes with Creepy Joe. He's going to be moving to Creepy Joe at some point. But pretty much out of time. Do you have any final thoughts? And tell people where they can hear your show, because you're going to be broadcasting live this weekend.
Yeah, Last Man Standing on Sunday at 1 p.m. Central over here on RBN. And that's at 2 Eastern time and 7 over here in the UK. Sunday, not Saturday. My new slot is Sunday. So, yeah. And we'll see. We'll see what Macron has to say. By the way, one interesting thing that I thought Mercurius did say is because he said Macron, I think, is trying to, you know, galvanize some sort of coalition of the willing, whereas he's got the coalition of the irrelevant or something like that, the insignificant, Baltic countries.
these Baltic countries, the coalition of the insignificant. He said something like that. Yeah, I caught that.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you, Patrick. It's a pleasure. It's always.
Okay, and I'll be back again next week with more exciting episodes of National Bugle Radio.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email ProudSouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.